And this is the Podcast Derby, a Blacklist podcast for this week's episode, Gordon Kemp, number 158. I'm Brian, joined by Dave. We'll talk about the, this is pretty long, slow, do-nothing episode.
Bit of a slog.
Oh, what a message piece. Little story arc, and that's about it. Teases of story arc, but it was actually just reminders of the private investigator that Liz hired.
I had actually forgotten about.
We mentioned it maybe last week, maybe the week before, that we're going to have to see her again. So we're going to have to get some indication as to what she discovered. But yeah, it was a slog. I don't know what else to say about it. It was a message piece, and it feels like I've said this every episode the last four, since we've been back, last four or five episodes, that they've all had some little underlying message. We even had some in the first half of the season, with the men that could get, the abortion one, with the men that can have babies, and the artificial intelligence. And it just feels like ripped from the headline stuff, and I don't need every week to be that, and that's all we're getting right now.
Yeah, and the problem about doing shows is that we try to actively avoid the message they're trying to get off, the social agenda. And we're not for or against, we're not trying to say either of that, and that's kind of our point. So it makes it very difficult to kind of discuss points on this without starting to get into that, which is what we're trying not to do.
Right, right. I mean, we can make a generalization opinion, but it's not really, we don't want to get into a long-winded debate over gun control. Right. That's, we're just looking at how does the episode fit into the universe that we are tasked with, dissecting.
That I think they did a pretty good job of, because they're like, you're a gun runner. Talk about what Red does, and Red addressed it himself. He's like, yes, I this is what I do, but I give it to people that, he had the thing at the end here. I lost it. For sport, for protection, for order, right? As opposed to, to subvert order. And that was not talking about the right or wrong, talking about his delineation, and he drew that, which was necessary.
Right.
You understand his world, and it wasn't him just being hypocritical. And they, Wrestler had said it earlier, yes, he's a gun runner, but he typically gives it to, he had a word for it, politicals, people fighting in armies and things like that. He doesn't necessarily put them on the streets.
Red's not giving it to, criminals that are just creating.
Right.
His usually is to armies or resistances and things like that. Right. I mean, his is larger scale. Still wrong, but different kind of wrong, maybe, I think, is what Russell was kind of saying. In a way.
The wrong gets interesting on that, because at that point, even in the American Revolution, we were a resistance army that was armed by the French,
sure,
the French gun right. And that's kind of the argument you'll get out there. That's the argument. That's a Reddington argument right there. Is like, somebody's got to do this.
Right.
Again, we're very careful on a line here.
But it was clearly, like I said, the episode was clearly written in as a way to be, perspective of either the author or the producer, or somebody. So this was one of the ones directed by Andrew McCarthy, James Spader's buddy. And though didn't really have a big name actor, the guy who played Gordon Kemp, I've seen him before, but he's not a named actor that.
He made me think of the guy that played Alexander Kirk. That could be relative.
Yeah, he did look a little like him, didn't he?
I mean, not the same guy, but
he looked like somebody that's been in the show. Absolutely. Yeah. But he did have some similarities. But overall, it was just it was
so
an episode of giving Red a conscience too.
It was giving Red a conscience. It also showed there was a lot of Cooper and Cooper's thing on doing what's right, following the law. In
Right.
There's a thing out there called alignment charts, and you're familiar with this. I know, you know, it's the whole lawful good, chaotic evil, and where do people fit? Talking about it's it read or Cooper kind of put himself in that lawful good. It's like, this is, I got to do the right thing. I got to follow the law. You know, and he did until the law told him he had to change course. And so he changed course and he went to protect.
Right. And he didn't necessarily even believe the course that they were taking initially. I mean, it was pretty thin and he knew it, but all right, well, let's see what we can do. You know, maybe we can go ahead and get her to buy again. And, you know, maybe we can catch them clear, you know, the seller clearly, you know, trying to push the sale and go forward with the sale, regardless of, you know, the red flags that are coming up. And the seller in that second purchase, you know, clearly had all the, you know, there were all those red flags. You know, one, first buy was good, second buy seems a little odd, and she was a little off, you know, not probably the best undercover person to throw in there, but they needed to throw in the person who had done the first sale.
Yeah.
And then they get the bad audio. I mean, it just, it was this very telegraphed episode where it was just like, we're trying to get to this point. And yet we're also going to have our, you know, Cooper and our FBI guys have to follow the law, you know,
and they did the right thing.
Protect the trucks and the delivery for the gun manufacturer, but still
any surprise at the end that it wasn't in Liz's truck?
No. Because it was too easy otherwise.
The only thing I was actually expecting was that it wasn't in any of them.
Yeah.
I was expecting Cooper to take it one level further and not tell even tell Wrestler or Park or anybody. Maybe Arm knew because he wasn't actually there.
Right.
And like, yeah, there's a fourth box.
Yeah, fourth truck or maybe.
Because they knew they could only hit one. And so they would just wait for that one to get hit. And then the trap is sprung and then they're just going to go 3 hours later. You know what I mean? That I was expecting something a little more devious, but I knew that, you know, Cooper knew they were coming. There was no way he wasn't going to mess with them. I just thought it was kind of a weak way to do it.
Well, especially with Cooper, you know, knowing Liz is on the phone, who are you talking to? And knowing she's talking to Red. And
well, he'd already known that before.
I guess, yeah, it was no surprise, though, but that he even played it off as like trusting, played it to her to trust her because she needed to know that she was trusted. But obviously he didn't trust her. And they have that little heart to heart at the end, which just seems like she has at the end of every episode with somebody, some sort of heart to heart. But that, you know, she's sometimes put into a position where she's got to make the choices who, you know, to support the team or to support Red. Or to support her own agenda, which she has certainly done against both Red and the team in the past. And we got something going on in the story arc that's part of that right now. So
she definitely has her own agenda going on this. So that's kind of the fun thing. Things are going to get interesting with her, I hope. So we did not get any more of Wrestler's brother, which I was a little surprised. For them to go a couple of episodes, if they never deal with that, that's going to be really weird.
Yeah, having him be so annoying last week, where he's constantly calling, and to not even have just one call this week to remind us that's still going on was a little odd. Yeah, I'd forgotten about him.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know it's we have had so little to talk about on these few episodes that since it's come back, it's
very last week's episode was actually pretty good. This one,
yeah, I think, and I messaged you like 20 minutes in. I'm like, this is the longest episode ever because I looked down at the clock and I'm like, oh my god, this episode is taking forever to get somewhere. Because
I looked at the clock, I'm like, oh my god, we're only 23 minutes into this episode.
I know. You know from the beginning with how that opening scene happens and occurs, and Red obviously affected by it. Yeah, it's horrible. But it was, you know, it's supposed to do that. So it's supposed to get the viewer emotionally invested in what Red's going to do. You know, it's got to spin back to the end of the episode when Red is going to kill this man with his own gun. You know, to
so did you think in that scene at the end, did you think, because he was like, about an hour ago, somebody bought one of your, you know, cheap ass 9mm. Did you think, and shot your wife? I didn't think he was going to shoot him. I thought he was going to shoot somebody else.
No, I thought it was going to, I thought it was Red that was going to shoot him, because I could tell the gun Red was holding was one of those guns.
Yeah.
So, I just assumed that the way it played out is what was going to happen. Get the guy to beg for his life and have him say, yeah, she begged for her life too. And got killed anyway, you know, and it's not going to work out any better for you just because you're rich. So
yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it would have been more satisfying that he goes, yeah, and, you know, killed your wife. Oh, by the way, here's a recording of your wife begging for her life, you know, and then just sets it down and walks away with like one bullet in it. Right. And either the guy like shoots himself or, you know, something horrible, worse, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that.
And then the guy suddenly has this weird turn of heart on.
That would have been much darker.
Sold all his.
That would have been much darker. Because I don't think the viewer at the same time though would want an innocent, so to speak, to get shot. Another innocent, you know, especially when Red has that phrase at the beginning.
Yeah, well, exactly. It could have been one of the other people that he'd been telling, you know, I want this spun by lunchtime. You know, it could have been one of those.
Could have been his lawyer. Could have been, yeah.
I don't know. I you know, we rewrite these episodes. I'm not saying right or wrong. I had different expectations. And
I'm content I'm content with the ending. I think it happened the way it needed to. It was certainly fine.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's all these notes that really.
I don't need to convince any court.
I do like that.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah, you knew how this was going to end. I did feel for a minute that maybe Red would spin it back into turning him into an ally of some sort, or.
Oh, I didn't think that at all.
But
he was too.
I had half a moment thought of that, but no, it didn't.
You can sell me your entire company.
Yeah, of your cheap weapons, you know.
Yeah. So,
because he goes through the whole speech of the, you know, the pride that gun manufacturers,
a weaponsmith, and
have taken throughout the years, and not your cheap little imitation guns that you can give to everybody. All right. So the other part of the story is Ilya, who we just have having his rear window episode. Of just
it's what it was, isn't it?
Constantly looking out the window and seeing the blue Chevy there and then not there and then not. You know, at some point a private eye who knows that she's gotta leave because she's being spotted by the guy she's watching should probably change cars. So it's not the same car, or try a different technique, that you're getting this guy basically going insane over it. But he's clearly been affected by the torture that he had from last half of the first half of this season, having just mental breaks and just PTSD
Well, she messed with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even when Dembe comes into the apartment to check on him, he just
seriously, Dembe, announce yourself. Why the hell did you not? Hey, I'm outside. I'm coming in. I know you have a gun in the house because you're a paranoid schizophrenic.
Clearly,
Dembe, come on.
Clearly for television, not for real life. I think Dembe probably would have. I don't think Dembe would have just let himself in either. I think he would have knocked.
Oh, yeah.
He would have. Yeah, I don't think he would have snuck in and creeped through the house the way he did. And the wife seemed to always be there, so yeah, it was he could have.
That was one line I caught on this was, since you came back. Wife's been around a long time and knows who he is.
Right. So in saying that, is she inferring that she was there from the first go around, or just that she's well aware of who he is and now that he's back? But right, yeah, she's certainly well aware of the past.
Yeah, she's known, you know, Raymond, or known of him for 20 whatever years.
She certainly seemed to speak with him comfortably. You know, yeah, there was no fight back and forth where Red had to say, I've known him, you know, 20 years longer than you, and there's
no intimidation. She was good for her.
Yeah, she stood up to him the whole time and said, you know, we're going to do this without you. We need to, you know, he needs to get professional help and you can't be a part of this and we got to leave you behind. And that's not going to be the last we're going to see of them, obviously.
Oh, it can't be. No.
But it kind of allows him to go away for a little bit. We're reminded of what he's been doing, and then he can kind of go disappear for probably the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And yeah, pull him back when it hits the fan again. Probably when we'll probably have an episode somewhere down the road where he's doing much better. You know, everything is starting to clear up, and then Katarina does come back and he starts seeing her, and he doesn't believe that he's seeing her because he thinks it's part of his hallucinations and right. things like that. And it compromises
him. She really is there.
And she really is there, especially with Red still believing her to be dead. So, and we get Teddy is back. Yay, Teddy. Who tortures people with board games, which is some of the most awesome writing the show has done, was that scene. And to go into the room and see like chutes and ladders or stuff like that on the table and the woman in tears. To know what was this torture that they were playing board games and he's got her in tears.
Yeah.
But the real breakthrough was with Oregon Trail. But they're gonna go ahead and easy Dembe walking down the hall with Scrabble and Parcheesi, two of my favorite games from childhood, to bring those down the hall.
I've never actually played Parcheesi. Played a lot of Scrabble.
Yeah, I played a lot of Parcheesi. That was a game in our house. It's basically a more complicated game of Sorry. Yeah.
That's the Canadian National Anthem game, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, he just, he's going to do his thing. But they found out through the interrogation that while Dembe is talking to Red, tells him that the PI was looking for Ilya and that it was Liz that hired him. This all the while, Liz is there with Red. They're having their, and now we're on the same side.
On the same side.
Trust yeah. moment with raising the glass when... clearly, there's not trust here. But he decides now's not the time. Because it's not so much for Red to confront what he doesn't understand. He's going to get more info. So he's going to...
Better chance to change the narrative if she's not expecting it.
Right, rather than
just... he's a master manipulator.
Yeah, he's never been one to just confront. He's always... when he has found out something, and he's found things out about Liz many times... that things that she's been doing that she thinks he's unaware, and he has found out many times. It's kind of getting to be a tired story, but it's happened before. You know, he will play it from his angle and manipulate it to his favor, so that when she does come clean with him, she realizes that she was wrong to ever doubt, because she told him he was Ilya. And he has yet to this day told her, I've never said I was Ilya. you followed me to China or wherever he was and told me I was Ilya. I never told you I was Ilya. So
said it to him, he was like, I'm not agreeing or confirming or denying this. It was just kind of a, you said it, let's move on.
Right, especially when Cooper was doing the confirmation of in the Cooper episode, knowing that I've known you for a long time and you were the man that I know. So therefore, how could you be anybody else?
Yeah.
So this is just going to be another one of those little arcs, you know, that Red's going to play it a few weeks, and we'll circle back to Liz and she'll know. But this is something though that I think could get lost, because we're not going to have a complete season, and we'll have to wait till next season to find out the resolution of this. Because I have a feeling this is a build up to a storyline that gets resolved in a finale, where Liz and Red come clean with what each other know, and that the season would end with Red saying who he really is, or just confirming I'm not Ilya, but finding out that Katarina's not Katarina, because that's never been.
Because nobody is what they seem.
Confirmed. And right, this whole season has been nothing is what it seems. Yeah. So this is that's the theme that they're running with, and we're gonna see that to the end. Yep. There are only four more episodes though, to this season that have been recorded.
For this season, yeah. But that doesn't. But that's an unfortunate circumstance. So truly.
So I'm just saying there's only four more episodes, and you know, so we're still very interested in what everybody feels their, you know, what their theories are. Not sure how much of this will get resolved with what we have left in this season, because they're going to be about four episodes short.
Right, and they're done. They've finished filming weeks ago, so it's not like they can do anything. And I'm going into that because of the other sad news that came out yesterday.
Yes, we did get an email about it, and we heard about it as well. Brian Dennehy, who plays Dominic, passed away this week, unrelated to what's going on. I want to make that clear, too. He was 81 years old. He passed away, and we loved his character, love him in lots of things he's been in. And so that'll be real interesting, because we don't know where they had moved with his storyline. You know, to go into the show for a moment here, how that'll affect things. Does he get recast? Had they already complete with the four episodes that we have coming up left? Was his storyline filmed out and completed, or you know, will they recast the character, or will they just go ahead and do
thought about that maybe they'd actually finished him out in the next four episodes? I hadn't even considered that.
I mean, he's in a coma.
Yeah, it's an easy solution. Unfortunately, you know, terribly to say that is he right. doesn't come out of it. They'll
to the story, it's
right out of it. Yeah,
yeah. It's not like with Princess Leia, where you know the actress died, but the character was still very much alive and active. This is a guy who was in a coma. You could easily write it in.
He just succumbed to it. Yeah,
he passed away, and move on from that. But
which is a shame, because he was such a fun.
He was a fun character, and he was the one that told the story that we all thought was the big reveal. And, you know, was shot by Katarina, but not the woman Katarina, who I will stick with, and not the woman who would still refer to him as father or whatever. Because she only referred to him as Dominic. So
That's fake Arena.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out. So I don't know if in the next four episodes if that storyline was resolved, but that's something to consider. Otherwise, we'll have to see if they just decide to take the way out of just succumbing to his condition, or if they decide to recast, or... yeah, the actor that played the younger version of him was a guy who was still in his 50s or 60s, was still an older guy. I mean, they could always, if they really wanted to, just spin that guy into the character. And it wouldn't be the first time that a TV show has recast a character. I mean, it's not a main character. It's a tertiary character. So you could always just recast it and just, you're just going to have an episode. I mean, you had the Harry Potter series where you had to recast Dumbledore because Richard Harris died, and you know the thing kept humming along and nobody cared. So it's just like, you know, you could find a way to do that if you really do have a lot of story you want to tell in the character. If there was a lot of plans for that character,
there's ways around it. He had a stroke, and so he's had some facial disfigurement and whatnot, and then they take that same actor they had before and just do makeup to.
Him to be a little older.
Or
they just continue to use Dominic in flashbacks with that other actor.
Yeah.
We could still get that would do it, yeah. But we'll see. But yes, horrible news this week. Brian Dennehy passing away. Regardless of the show. Sad.
We liked him. And
yeah, sad. Always, yeah. When that happens, especially a really liked actor. I mean, lots of movies. I don't know if he's done a lot of television, but lots of movies. Been around for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of the first thing I saw him in, but
he's doesn't very really matter.
But he's a very recognizable guy. Everybody knows him. So, all right. And that's really about it. I mean, any other last thoughts on this one?
Not on the show. Not on that in particular.
Yeah, I hope.
We need to talk about,
I hope next week we get back into the arc, but I don't feel like it from the preview. For next week's episode, it looks like another Blacklister of the Week. We've had all triple digits so far since the show's come back on the air in March. Yeah. So these are, and all the triple digits tend to be less important Blacklisters. So And I think that's something to be telling if next week's the opener says, you know, whatever, number 100 and something, just expect another one-off episode and not much arc. Because I think that's where we're at right now.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, if you do have any thoughts, feelings, or ideas on the episode, you can go ahead. What?
We do.
Oh.
We do have thoughts. Remember?
Sorry, we have an email. We have an email. Go ahead, bring up your email.
So my, we had done, I'm going to, whoops, I talk about this almost every week. We had done a theories episode before the return in March. I think we recorded it sometime in February this year, whatnot. And we have a lovely woman who's been emailing us who didn't quite believe it at first. And it seems like she's coming around to the point where she's starting to do some investigations on her own.
Yeah, I think some of the early emails from her was like, I don't think so, guys. And now she's kind of like, okay, maybe. Yeah.
So she did find, she sent us an email, found something interesting about the symbol on top of the box, which we've been talking about. The carved outline might be where an object sat at one point. If you invert the symbol, it could be a close match to the Romanov crest, although the shield and tail don't fit. No idea how it might relate to Tom, but it's a fun find. And do you have the ability to bring that up?
I'm gonna see if I can get it, but it did look really good.
It's like I could see there being something in there that's just kind of been passed down. There's all kinds of ways that I could see this.
Right.
You know, parts of it are missing. And there could be, I was thinking with this, it could be one of those things like this is one piece literally of a puzzle. And then like the other, like the shield and the wings come in later through different boxes. And as they start to form together, I'm all about this Romanov theory.
You're all on it. Yeah, absolutely.
I believe she calls herself Angie. Maybe it's just Ange, but I'm going to call her Angie. If I'm wrong, tell me. I'm dead on. This is awesome. This was a great find. This was really cool.
And you can definitely see the head there on the left and you got the body and the legs and you could just, but you know what? I'm fine with that even if it's incomplete. So, you know, it's still pretty good.
This is something that's been handed down for over 100 years, right? So
yeah, it could have worn.
I don't know what's going on. I want to stop the share here.
Just a heck of a catch, though, to see that, and I think that's awesome. So it really does add that connection to that Romanov theory, and it's just like little stuff. Like I said, they've been sprinkling in a little bit. I didn't hear anything today but there really was no arc in this theory today any theories today. But I did like that email. That was a real good catch, and I think that does give us something to think about.
All right.
Well, if you do now, have any thoughts or feelings on what we should, what you've picked up on, or what we should be talking about, go ahead and email us at blacklist@podcastturbia.com. You can go ahead and hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at Podcasturbia. And if you want to watch us record this episode, you can go to twitch.tv/podcasturbia. We record the episode shortly after the episode airs East Coast time. So that is going to do it for this week's episode. I'm Brian, he's Dave, and we'll see you all next time.
Good night, everybody.